Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Things are not looking good for the Great Barrier Reef. The latest aerial survey of the reef has found that about two-thirds of it has suffered from coral bleaching. James Kerry from James Cook University led the study. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you start by describing for us what is bleaching?
Certainly. So bleaching is what happens when a coral gets stressed. And a coral has small algae that we call zooxanthellae that live within them. And when they get too hot, they produce a toxin that the coral doesn't like, and the toxin gets rid of them. And they're very colourful, so what happens is the coral turns white, and that's when you get the bleached coral.
And does that mean then that section then becomes effectively dead?
No, a bleached coral isn't necessarily dead. So those tiny algae, they provide food by photosynthesizing that feeds the coral. So it starts to starve when it loses those algae. If the temperature of the water, for example, cools down enough, the coral will actually take that algae back in just by literally eating it out of the water, and then it will begin to be able to feed itself through the algae.
Mm. But unfortunately, the water has been heating up. Over what period of time, as far as is known, has it been heating up for?
Well, in terms of this event, it was during the Australian summer, and we had a period of, I believe, it depends where you are on the reef, but several weeks where we saw temperatures that were above average for that time of year. And the corals are very thermally sensitive, and when that happens, when you get that extended period of heating, that's when you get the stress response. But if we're talking more long-term, we've been seeing for at least 50 years, a global trend of increasing water increasing global temperatures.
And is there a mix of factors making that causing that increase in temperature?
The science is telling us that it's overwhelmingly carbon emissions and the amount of carbon that we're pumping into the atmosphere that's actually driving up those temperatures globally.
Is it just that, or are there local factors at play as well?
In terms of coral bleaching, we haven't found anything else that we can see as a driver of that bleaching response. So we looked at other factors like water quality, whether a reef was in a zone that was where you couldn't go fishing, but we didn't find anything else predicted where the bleaching occurred except the heat, which predicted it very accurately indeed.
As things stand now, how much of the corals at the Great Barrier Reef have been bleached?
In terms of the central section, so the central third of the reef, which is an area of about 300 miles in length, I would say from our aerial surveys that we conducted that about 80% of those have severe level of bleaching. So the majority of the corals on those reefs have bleached. In terms of the GBR more generally, the Great Barrier Reef, excuse me, more generally, I don't have an exact figure. In the northern third, it's lower, certainly, and the southern third has basically escaped bleaching this time around, and it also escaped bleaching last year in 2016, when the northern third bleached extensively.
But given that you're looking at it now every year, does this mean there's evidence that this process is speeding up?
That's the fear. You know, we will continue to monitor the situation. So the Great Barrier Reef has bleached four times now. It bleached in 1998, it bleached in 2002, and then we've had this unprecedented back-to-back 2016-2017 bleaching. So we'll obviously be watching what happens next year and in the coming years. And the fear is that, yeah, we're going to start seeing these events happening more and more frequently.
Apart from the coral itself and the algae that live on the coral, does it affect other wildlife?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ecosystem is very tightly connected, and the corals are what we call foundation species. So they are used by a lot of other species for food, for shelter, so fish and things like shrimp and crabs. And so when you lose the coral, particularly the complex corals are the ones that are really susceptible to bleaching, you lose a lot of that habitat and that food. And so within months and years, you start to see a loss of fish and and other creatures on the reef.
Mm. Even if things went back to normal in the morning, how long would it take for the coral to recover from this?
Yeah, it's a good question. For the fastest growing corals to return to an adult size, you're looking at about 10 years. For the slower growing corals, you're looking at something like 100 years. So it's a really long, slow process. And, you know, the chances of, at present, the chances of having another event is quite likely during that time period. So it's not a great outlook.
Given that climate change certainly doesn't seem to be reversible at this stage, and even if it was ground to a halt, it's not going to happen today nor tomorrow, does that mean the Great Barrier Reef is facing extinction then?
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion just yet, but it's certainly under a quite severe threat at the moment. There is still a window of opportunity, but it is closing quite rapidly for us to start changing the way that we, you know, the amount of carbon emissions that we're putting into the atmosphere.
James Carey is a marine biologist at James Cook University who led the aerial surveys. James, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.